Hi there.
Oh,
hi.
Oh, hello.
This is yours, correct?
It is.
Well, unfortunately, a little bad news. I'm not going to be able to take this off of your bill tonight.
Why?
It's halfway gone. You guys ate a lot of pie.
Is this a joke?
It's not a joke. What you ate went past the threshold of returnability.
Okay, I took a robust bite initially because it's dessert. Then I took a tentative bite to confirm that it was gross. And then he took a bite.
Three bites.
She took one bite. She said, this tastes awful. A second bite. Yes, it is awful. And you take a large bite at that point? That's the part that doesn't make sense.
You have to take a large bite. How else do you confirm? You can't confirm on a small bite.
Right.
You don't get enough taste.
That's three huge bites.
You know what? Charge me double for it.
I don't need to.
She's an artist. She's a libertine. We're going back to my house. We're going to have sex. We're going to forget about this horrible experience.
Exactly.
Okay?
We're going to have great sex.
Yeah.
You two are going to have sex.
Yes.
Yeah, you got a problem with that?
No, no problem.
Listen to League Podcast, Curbcast, Season 12, Episode 7, The Dream Scheme. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno here.
All right, welcome back. Before we get into Episode 7, The Dream Scheme, we got to jump back to last week's episode a little bit because there was some news. And you sent me this, and the billboard.
Catch his caftan.
The billboard was actually graffitied. Like, what the? Did they know? I mean, they must have known, right, that someone would do this. They don't put that billboard up thinking, oh, this will be fine. Right?
Well, I mean, who knows that they didn't do it? You know what I mean?
Right,
I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but maybe they were like, somebody at HBO was like, okay, now we have the viral moment. Get up there and spray paint those dicks.
But I mean, yeah, I wonder if they were like, look, we can't tell you to spray paint a dick on it. But if it were to happen, you know what I mean?
we wouldn't be mad.
You know, if that just happened. Yeah,
because those things are easily taken down too. Like, they could take those down in an afternoon, you know?
Yeah.
And put a new one up or like replace it.
Unless it leads to, like it did for Susie, you know, better business, an uptick in
bump.
Sales, a dick bump, yeah. Exactly.
A penis bump.
Double dicks, you know, you get twice as many sales. I don't remember, though. Was there jizz on her chest?
I'll have to go back into the group thread to figure that out.
No, don't do that. Let's not have these group texts. I mean, you gotta love it. Okay, no matter who did it, and I'm sure, let's just say HBO wasn't mad, let's just say, at it. But if you're like Larry David, are you like, yes? You know what I mean?
Of course he thinks it's funny.
Yeah. You know, I don't know anything about Larry, real life Larry, right? But like, I wonder if he even, like, if they say, hey, Larry, you got this many people watched Curb this week. Do you think he cares one way or the other? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah, probably keeps an eye on his readings and stuff. That's, like, all part of the job.
He probably does. But, I mean, he gets paid probably either way. I think he has a lot of creative freedom. But it's probably nice when, I mean, something like this happens, though. It's got to make you feel good.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So. You know you're really reaching people when you get a spray painted dick on your billboard after you've just aired an episode about a spray painted dick on a billboard.
Practically begging for it.
I know. Yeah. You don't put that up thinking, this will be fine. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right. So now we gotta get to the dream scheme. This one was funny because I feel like it didn't really, I mean, a lot of the storylines were new. This didn't continue with him getting arrested. They didn't even mention that he was arrested last week for the graffiti.
Yeah, it's kind of a standalone, you know?
Yeah. And I'm okay with it because this was a great one. We start off, it's 3:00. You can see his clock by his bed. Larry is sleeping and he gets a phone call. I mean, I don't know about anybody else. My phone is on mute, especially at night. Usually,
yeah,
pretty much
too.
pretty much all the time for reasons just like this, I suppose. But I suppose I would still hear the buzz. You know, that would probably be enough to wake me up. But, you know, cinematically, it's better to have it ring. Let's just say.
Oh, yeah.
So he gets a call. And the woman says, "Larry, it's Gina Grossbard." And he's like, "Who?" She said, "Stu had a heart attack." And he has no idea who it is. He's like, "Stu, who?" And she's like, "Stu Grossbard." Or he had a stroke, I should say. I'm sorry. Not a heart attack, a stroke. But
you know, from the whatever. Club.
Yeah, from the club. What?
Who?
And she says, "I thought you should know." And she just hangs up. And he's like, "Why the fuck she called me?"
Yeah, cut to the locker room at the club. And they're like, he's explaining it to Jeff and Freddie. Like, what? Now I'm on this family text thread.
Yeah, I know. And that's another thing. Because, again, cinematically, it's better that he gets the notifications, but I'm on mute. But, yeah, he's getting a lot of texts, and there are all these inspirational things and a doodle by a child or whatever. And I love Freddie just says, "You got to heart that. You just got to heart that."
Yeah, you just got to heart it. Just heart it. Just Marcus heart beats. It. Beef stew is, you know, the cure for anything. Let me bring this up.
I know. Like, the guy had a stroke. He's in the hospital. You're going to bring someone, wait, his wife, beef stew? I love these texts. They're all so stupid. And yes, as we mentioned a minute ago.
And they show it. It's not really a spoiler, but they show what the writers came up with. Animated in the credits at the end. They show the whole text thread. Which goes on throughout the episode.
Yeah. And this is, he gets pictures, he gets whatever. And he doesn't even know any of these people. He doesn't even know the guy that they're talking about. Like, he knows that he goes to this club. That's it. But I love, And as we mentioned just before we started recording, Freddie with like one of the greatest lines the whole show, he says, "That is the lowest form of human communication."
Totally
the text chain. And yes, he is speaking gospel there. I totally believe that. Now, okay, you and me and John are on a text thread, a text, you know, three people. John almost never responds, to be honest, unless I'm like, "Are we podcasting?" And he says,
it's usually
yes or no.
Business related.
Right. We almost never just. I suppose, if one of us had a stroke, we would probably, you know. But the more people you get on these things, it just, everybody's got to have their 2 cents. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
I have kind of pinned in my messages, like, text from you, text from Stacy, text from the league group we just talked about.
Right.
And then text from literally one work thing. And here's the thing. Especially on all of those, I have notifications off. Like, I don't see it immediately. And I don't get a ding because I know that I frequently get texts from all of them. Mm. And those are the ones I'm going to look at. But I can tell you, I went to a wedding once. I'm going to mind my words carefully. But I went to a wedding once. But
okay.
For the sake of argument, call her my sister-in-law. And I wasn't in the wedding party. But I was part of the fucking all of the dudes, the groom, like
the groomsman,
who's like actually friends with the dude, and has it was similar to this thing. Like, remember that time we all got wasted and whatever? Yeah, it was like I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, all I know is Saturday. I'm going to a wedding. I have my clothes picked up. That's all I know. And frankly, for most of my life, that's all I've ever had to know. Where to be, what time to be there, that's on the printed invitation. I don't need to be going back and forth with all the groomsmen about whatever the fuck they're talking about. I don't even know. Immediately left. And once you leave, you can't go back.
Well, that's that is also a thing in the episode. Larry does say, "I can't even leave because then they'll know." So the idea is there is kind of this embarrassment or not embarrassment. I don't know. But like, you don't want to deal with like like people think, what a jerk, he just left. You know, he just left the chain. Because it, why does it have to notify everybody? You know what I mean? Like, why does it have to say Larry left the text group or whatever? Why does it have to do that? Lame. Can't he just leave and they don't know, you know?
And you look at it, you get a text and it's like one person's number that you know, and then 10 people who you don't know. Like 10 foreign numbers that aren't even coming up with names or anything. You're like,
yeah, because they're not in your these people? Phone. Yeah, you don't even know. It's the worst. It is the lowest form of human communication. I mean, that's just it.
And if it was like, and I can see the family having their own text message chain, but why the fuck is Larry or Reddy or anybody on it?
Well, yeah,
doesn't sound like Larry. They are. But Jeff's like, thank God it isn't me.
Yeah, he said, better you than me. Anyway, yeah, so they move on. Larry has a date with an artist, not Sienna Miller, but an artist. Her name is actually Essence Atkins, and I thought she was quite attractive. But anyway, she's an artist, and she's painting all these Jewish comedians. She's got an exhibit called The Weisenheimers. And and Larry, Freddie says, oh, yeah, Lewis sat for her. And I guess he asked her out, and it didn't really go anywhere. And then they'd like, well, and they kind of all laugh, like, you know, like some people got it. And Freddie says, maybe he should have given water to somebody, you know, in the voting line in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's right. And Larry pretty much agrees. Yeah, like, yeah, totally. Yep.
We cut to them out on the course, and they're putting. And Jeff tells Larry the story that Susie, she's got a textile con coming up in Raleigh, and she wants him to go. She already bought the ticket, and because it's last minute, he has the middle seat. That's what middle fucking seat, he says. But they're also like, what is a textile convention? It's pretty funny.
And Larry's like, you can't go to that.
Yeah, you can't.
There's no way you can go to that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, but this is where Larry comes up with the dream scheme for Jeff.
Yes.
He says that what you do is when you fall asleep, pretend you're having a nightmare that says that, oh, middle seat. And then he like makes him try it.
Yeah, I know.
So Jeff's on the green and he's like, middle seat, squished in.
Can't breathe. And then he pretends sort of like, you can't go. You should stay here. But also, so there's another funny thing. Freddie's having a rough day on the links. And he takes out a flask. And Larry's like, what is this? And he says, oh, it's swing juice. Iced tea and vodka, he says. And he's like, you look like a derelict. And he says, I look like a gentleman. I don't know. I kind of see Freddie's point on this one. I think a flask can be a, you know, it doesn't have to be like a hobo kind of thing. I think it's a...
He goes, here's looking up your address.
Yeah, right. I like it. To be honest, this is probably as good as Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn, I would watch like a Funkhauser spinoff with Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah. He's so good in this.
Based on this one episode. I mean, like, he's been good since he had to take over, you know, when Bob Einstein passed away, but this episode really had me rolling. So, but yeah, swing juice is great. Anyway, that comes up later, of course, the flask.
You would think, I mean, I don't know. I don't partake or anything, but people I do know that golf, like they're smoking weed and trying to drink beers and stuff. I mean, you know, I don't know what the protocol is, but I think the flask seems like the way to go.
Yeah, I think it's because it's like a fancy country club, you know, Larry and or it's maybe frowned upon. I don't know.
They want you to buy the drinks there.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. But if it's just like a regular nine hole, like whatever, that you can just walk in and play anytime, maybe it's a little more relaxed.
My sister, I was the best man at my sister's wedding. And they gave me a nice flask, something I'll never get to use, but it looks nice. It has my initials
nice.
On it.
Oh, cool. Did you ever use it even when you were a partaker?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay,
I did.
Good.
I used to take it to work.
I mean, I did.
One time, actually, I have a story about that. Like, I went to my therapist, in-person therapist appointment, and she was kind of like, and I was dealing with, this was before I got sober, but I was like, just the kind of thinking like, oh, maybe part of my problems here, why I'm at the shrink, is maybe substance related. I don't know. So I was like talking through it with her. She's like, you kind of smell like a whiskey. And I had my jean jacket on, and I was like, oh, it's probably just this. And I pulled up a flask.
I mean, that's.
I didn't drink on the way there. It was for later, but still.
But you.
That's why I smelled like whiskey. Yeah, because I probably didn't use the funnel to get the Jim Beam into the thing. You know what I mean? I probably just poured it in there and shoved it in my jacket.
That's all right. I did. I remember one time when I had to work. Commencement at my old job, that was like a flask day, but I, you know, I haven't touched it in a long time, but I have a couple of nice ones, to be honest. I have one that I bought when I was driving cross country with our friend Brom, and I stopped I bought one that said it has Route 66 on it. It's kind of cool.
There you go.
And
gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly. And I have one that's like leather bound, which kind of what Freddie looks like. He has kind of a nice one. You know what I mean? It looked like it was kind of like leather, whatever. But yeah, they frowned upon it. I mean, maybe it's just Larry giving him shit. You know what I mean? But it's almost like he thinks only alcoholics use these things, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, probably.
You know,
case in point right here.
Well, I guess. Anyway, so he's on his date. We cut to his date. And the artist's name is Renee Holcomb. And he pretends that she's on his talk show. And he's like, oh, you know, how you doing? I understand Larry David. You know, you painted Larry David. And she said, oh, yes, he was wonderful. A bit, what did she say? His face was a little like, not crooked.
Asymmetrical.
Asymmetrical, thank you. And he's like, really? Like, he was like... You know, a little offended, but then they talk about, you know, whatever. It's a nice conversation. It's very pleasant. And then she gets some, you know, a slice of key lime pie. She tries it and she's like, this isn't very good. She takes another bite. Says, oh, this is terrible. And then he takes a bite. And he says, oh, this is terrible. He calls the waitress over and says, this isn't very good. And she says, oh, you look like you're enjoying it. And he says, really? Well, you mean that grimace? Anyway, she says she'll take it off the bill. But yeah, she makes a comment. The artist, Renee, makes a comment that, like, I think you'll see what my face looks like when I'm enjoying something, which is look at that. Good for Larry.
Getting some.
Yeah. So the manager comes over and he says,
do you know who that is?
No, I don't think I do.
Moshe Kasher, he's a really funny comedian. He's married to Natasha Leggero, and they have a funny podcast called Endless Honeymoon or something like that, where they get, you would like the podcast, actually. It's an advice podcast.
Ah.
All in with, like, relationship stuff, and they have special guests and stuff, but he's a really funny comedian.
I'm surprised I didn't I usually look up people, you know, like that.
Well, I knew who he was previously, so that's why I'm telling you about that. He's a funny guy.
Oh, very well. Very well. And he's very funny here, too. He brings back the pie, like the half-eaten pie. He says, is this yours? And they say, yeah. And he says, I'm sorry, this is beyond the threshold for taking it off the bill. Like, you ate too much of it. And they're like, what are you talking about? So they had three bites. You know, she said, I took one bite because it's dessert. I took another bite to make sure I didn't like it. And then he had a bite. So he's like, Larry's like, three bites. He's like, no, that's beyond the threshold or whatever. And Larry, he's like, look, I don't care. Charge me double, but don't try to pretend like that this is like a thing. But then he says, look, we're going to leave here. We're going to have sex. And the manager is like, you two are going to have sex? Like, this is like the third time, I feel like, this season where somebody... Last week, it was the cop.
It.
Yeah. She's like, you went on a date with Santa Bella? You're like 50 years older than her.
He's like, I know. I can't believe it either.
I know. I mean, it is pretty funny. This is, I guess, a few times this season where they made it a joke about, like, they can't believe that Larry's on a date with a beautiful woman.
Larry definitely can't believe it either, but he's into it.
Yeah, he's like, I love it. He's like in on the joke. Anyway, but yeah, they're going to go. They're going to have great sex. And Renee says they're going to have great sex, too. So the guy says, or Larry says, go get the chef. And I want to tell him. He's like, oh, you want me to get the chef? Because, you know, I'm the nice one of the two. And Larry's like, oh, yeah, I'm really scared.
Go and, get chef. Go get chef.
Yeah, go get chef. And as soon as the guy leaves, he throws down the money and they leave.
He's like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, let's get the fuck out. So we cut to the morning, and seemed like everything went well for Larry, you know? So good for him. She's there in her nightgown or whatever, and she says everything was good. Although he does say he didn't sleep well because, you know, there's another person.
New person in the bed, yeah.
Yeah. So, but she says, well, I hope it was worth it. And he says, oh, are you suggesting an encore? He's going down. Or as he says later to Leon, he says he was downtown.
He was going downtown on her. That's the encore part.
Yeah, the encore part is, yeah, he's going downtown. And the housekeeper walks in, and they do these. I love the, you know, Larry's like when he's very distraught, you know, he does like, oh,
and she's like, oh, and she drops her towels because she was bringing the towels in there.
Yeah. And she kind of, they close up on both their faces, like they're just both just going, oh, and she runs out. So Larry's got to go talk to her. The artist is like, well, all right, I'll, you know, good luck with that. Basically, she's like, call me later and let me know how it went, but I'm out of here.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the big deal is, you know, but aren't they supposed to knock? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Like, I thought it was her day off. I thought it was her day off.
Right. And she is, I mean, you know, yeah, you should knock before going in someone's bedroom. Anyways. So, yeah, he goes down to talk to the housekeeper, not down, you know, not the sexual go down, but he not goes downtown. Downstairs, not downtown. Typical Larry fashion. He kind of tries. He's like, I don't know what your experience is like. He's like, I feel women like it. You know, it's a gentlemanly thing to do.
Yeah, I'm chivalrous.
And the housekeeper she doesn't even really want to talk about it. And I love Leon comes in. He's like, ah, what's her name? Delia, I think the housekeeper's name is. She's like, yo, Delia. And she's like, I have to go. And she like just kind of like runs out. And he's like, what's going on? He's like, ah, it's not good. And he's like, would you get her pregnant?
He said there was an incident.
Oh, that's right. That's what he says. Since there was an incident. Leon's first instinct was, did you get her pregnant? So they go in the kitchen and he's like, this is when he uses the phrase downtown. And Leon says he's more of an uptown guy. Larry's more of an uptown guy. He should do that. But
well, Larry says he likes to go downtown on occasion.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say like to run some errands or something. He didn't say that. He's like, go downtown on occasion. And then he asks Leon, he's like, do you ever go downtown? Leon's like, yeah, I could give a TED talk on that.
Yeah, I could give a TED talk on that shit. And then he keeps talking about, he tries to say erogenous zone three times and he keeps fucking it up. Like he can't, and Larry keeps trying to say erogenous.
Erotinous, Joe.
Yeah.
Erogenous.
Like he can't say erogenous.
And that's like the bad stereotype about Black people is that they don't do that. So I was surprised to hear that Leon says that he could give a TED talk.
TED talk on it.
I'm sure he could.
Yeah, I think Leon likes everything, sex, no matter what. He likes it all. He'll, you know, no matter what it is. So,
and that ass.
Yeah, that's right. And then LD gets a call from Gina Grossbart again, Stu's wife, and she's like, Larry. And again, he doesn't know who this is. She's like, I'd like to have lunch. He's like, what?
Me?
Yeah, he's like, what? And I love it. He's like, oh, she's like, I know the text chain. She says the text chain is a blessing. It's like, really? Yeah, I saw
really
some.
Helped everybody out.
Yeah, he's like, I saw some, you know, quote about, you know, resilience there from your cousin there.
So how's Stu doing and everything?
Yeah. You know, he does ask. Yeah, nice. But yeah, she says the check change is a blessing. All right, so now we cut to Jeff and Susie's bedroom, and Jeff is having his fake nightmare, and it's really bad. Like, his acting is pretty bad. Oh,
it's terrible. Oh.
But it works. Susie says, this is a sign. You don't have to go on the trip. And Jeff rolls over and smiles, of course. Of course, it all comes back to haunt them. But LD, yeah, now he's at lunch with this woman, Stu's wife. And he says, like, it means or at one point she says, well, you know Stu. And he's like, I really don't.
But Stu like looks up to him and really loves him.
Yeah. She said, I can't believe. Well, first of all, so this is the funny thing. Gina, this woman blamed Susie for his stroke because she brought over a tub of foie gras. And she's like,
fucking
she knows
disgusting.
I don't think I've ever had it. I've never had it.
It's liver pate, goose liver. Ugh. Fucking disgusting. You would have a stroke if you ate a whole tub of it.
Well, that's she says she knows I'm trying to lose weight, so she brings over a whole tub of it. And so Stu ate the whole tub and then he had a stroke, and she thinks it's Susie's fault for bringing that over. And Larry's like, you know, that's just, you know, it's his Achilles heel. And he's like, if he ate the whole tub, that's more like the foot. It's like the whole foot, not just the heel.
I forget which Superman movie it is. It might be the second one where Lois and Clark go out on a picnic and he has goose liver pate. That's what foie gras is.
Oh, wow.
Gross.
Yeah.
I don't know why Superman or Susie or anybody is eating that stuff.
Well, maybe Susie's. It sounds like Susie, you know, later on in the episode, maybe doesn't really like her anyway. So maybe that's why she did it. But yeah. So anyways, here's the reason they're at lunch. This woman asks Larry, if anything were to happen to Stu, Stu wants Larry to look after their daughter. Well, the funny thing is, she says, he wants you to keep an eye on Olivia. And he's like, who? Our 11-year-old daughter. And Larry thinks that is a horrible idea. And
he's like, is it a financial thing? And she's like, no, it's just soccer and boys. And
yeah, the boys.
She's identifying as a cat now. So we think you could really help her out with that. He's like, have you ever seen me talk to a child without disdain in my voice?
Yeah, I've never.
And you could go get a homeless person. That would be better than this. Why am I?
And then he tries to throw. He tries to throw Funkhauser under the bus. He's like, you know, it would be better, Freddy Funkhauser. And she said, oh, no, he's got a job. He has to sell the violin, like this antique violin that I don't even know whoever the famous violinist. He played it at Carnegie Hall or whatever. And Larry's like, I can be violin. I can be the violin guy. Yeah, so then the daughter and the nanny come in, and the daughter is really weird, and Larry has no idea how to talk to her. First, he talks to her like she's a cat. He's like, oh, hello.
hello.
Like how I talk to my cat. And then he says, like, do you like boys or something? Like, he has no idea what she's doing. And then
so he asks her, like, the most random questions. He's like, do you like hockey? No.
Yeah.
Do you think
hockey?
Puerto Rico should be? He keeps it PG. Do you think Puerto Rico should become a state?
That is random question. Eventually, she gets kind of annoyed, or because she's cat lady, he pulls the string right out of his hoodie. She just takes the string right off, and he's like, "What'd you do that for?" And she's like, "A cat's like string." It's terrible, and I mean, let's face it, Larry probably would be a pretty bad choice for this. Let's face it.
Yeah, do you remember the Girl Scout girl when she was having her period and she was in his house and like had to give her a tampon or something? You remember that?
I vaguely remember it, but I don't remember the whole thing. I remember all the times with Sammy, all the things he did, with that, and obviously the doll head and the things like that and all that stuff. So.
And her pussy hitches.
So he's back at the house after that. He's talking to Leon about this whole thing, and he's trying to put the string back in his hoodie, and he tries to do it by licking it, and it's very suggestive. Like the way he's licking the string, like the tip of the string, so he can push it back through. And the housekeeper walks in and sees him like with his tongue, going to town on this, going downtown basically on the string.
It's like, no, I'm just trying to get this in there. It's like, do you have any housekeeper tricks to do this? And, if that happens to me, I immediately hand it to Stacy and she does have some trick. You can take like a safety pin. If you take a safety pin and put it at the end, you can feed it through. But I don't have the patience for that either. And she's like, no, I don't have any housekeeper tricks for that.
Yeah, she doesn't have any housekeeper tricks. But then he says, she's clearly like upset. And he says, the toilet, you should put the toilet paper on the top, so it comes down from the top, not from the bottom. And the way he and Leon are talking about the bottom and the top, it sounds very sexual to me. Maybe I'm reading into it.
Yeah.
But then Leon says, if you take it from the bottom, it's almost like unwiping your ass or something like that. It's ridiculous. But then he's getting more texts. And he just goes, fuck you! He goes to Jeff and Susie's house because he's just going to see Jeff, I guess. And Susie's walking out with the dog. And she's got a coyote vest. Like a special, like, it's like, it's got like chains on it. Or not, like spikes. And
yeah,
like little,
spikes.
All those little spikes on the back. It's like, there's coyotes all over this neighborhood. So he says, oh, by the way, Gina is blaming you for Stu's stroke. And she says, oh, he's a pig. It's retaliation or whatever. Like, that Stu's a pig. So it's pretty funny. But then she tells him about Jeff not going to Raleigh because of the dream he had. And Larry's like, oh, how about that? Like, he acts all surprised.
I thought you were already going to the textile thing. Yeah. He plays dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, that poor guy. All right, so now we go. Larry's going to see Stu in the hospital. He's Stu. He's a big guy. He looks like he could polish off a tub of loose liver. But he says, look, I talked to Gina, and we went to lunch and I paid, which, she invited me. She's the invitee, or I'm the invitee. She's the invitor, I feel like.
And he keeps saying, it's not a big deal to me. I don't care.
Right.
I don't even care. It's not a big deal to me, but it's a common courtesy thing. He goes, it's again, not a big deal, but still, I was invited. So she should have picked up the bill, but not a big deal. You got
not
more important things to worry about.
Yeah. And he's also like,
common courtesy.
I know. And he's like, I waited. I gave her a chance,
Yeah.
It just seemed odd. But anyway, so he asks about the keeping an eye on the daughter. And, Funk would be perfect. And he's like, no. And I love it because this is something that they repeat a lot too. And he says, Funkhauser would be perfect. He loves prepubescent girls, not in a bad way.
Like, not
in a good way. In a good way. They always, everything they keep saying, in a good way. In a good way. And then, he's like, look, no, you'd be perfect. You'd be great. Larry's like, okay, I respect your decision. He sits back and he takes out a flask, like a big flask. This is not like the little flask that Funkhauser had. This is like a
no. Like a it big... was the same one because he said,
it?
"I had to use your flask." Yeah, later on.
I don't know if he mean literally the flask or just the idea of the flask. I thought it was a different flask. Maybe you're right.
It's the same one. It's the All same right. one.
Well, he takes out the flask and he takes like a big swig. He's like, "Oh yeah, this is good." And he makes all these like. Comments about like, this is so I don't have to drink later or whatever. And he's like, there's like a nurse outside. He's like, look at the tukus on her.
He's making himself a bad candidate, basically.
Yeah. And the guy, Stu, does actually say, you know what? I changed my mind. And he says, you're flopping? Yeah, he switches. He says, Larry, sell the violin and, He's like, all right. The violin, you know, and Funkhauser will watch, keep an eye on the daughter. And then he just leaves. He's like, all right, gotta go. So he comes back and the housekeeper's there and Larry comes down and he's in his robe. I don't know if this is like, this is just kind of weird, I guess, but like, you know, him in a robe, but I get it. Like, why wouldn't you just get dressed?
Well, he didn't have any towels, so he probably just put on the robe while he was still wet because he didn't have a towel.
Right. He does say, I'm all wet because there were no towels in the bathroom. And she says she couldn't.
But it is a little like creepy, like your boss is sexually harassing you.
It's almost like a Harvey Weinstein kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was like his move. But obviously Larry does have a reason. You're right. And he says it's because there are no towels. And she says because of the trauma. The trauma. He's like, oh, the trauma. Folding towels.
I was carrying the towels when I came in and you were doing the thing. And he goes, oh, well, why don't you just get me some new towels then? She's like, I don't think I can. And he's like, well, when you take a shower at your house, are you traumatized by the towels there? No, they're my towels.
So it's my towels. She's like, yes. He's like, well, can you get over the trauma by tomorrow? So then he goes into the kitchen. And yeah, there's like dishes and shit all over the place too. So
yeah,
he and Leon are like, Leon says he's taking a bit. Leon says he took a shower and had a dry himself with paper towels. So they're confused about this trauma, why it's affecting her work so much. And Larry says, I once saw my aunt giving a blowjob to my uncle in the backseat of their car. And they wanted to go to the movies. I just jumped right in the car. Didn't traumatize him. Although he had a crush on his aunt after that.
Yeah. And Leon says, you probably got a lollipop that day and you still didn't let it affect you. Like, no, it didn't affect me.
Yeah. And Leon makes a joke about like the Mount Rushmore pussy eaters where they would all have their tongues out. That's what he says. Because they were trying to figure out who the first person to go downtown was. They couldn't figure out like what century that became a thing.
Yeah, Leon's in his, but like probably in the 70s.
Yeah. So then the doorbell rings and Funkhauser shows up. And he comes in, he's all jovial at first. He's like, all right, well, I gave you a chance. You fucked me. And he says it like over and over again, how much Larry fucked him about this daughter thing. And then they have like, and he says, you know what bothered me is that you did it with my own flask. Like you said, but I don't know if literally, I mean, I'll have to watch it again to find if it was literally the
you
same.
Don't want to believe me, but he used
no,
his
I
flask.
Don't. I really don't. But maybe you're right. How did he get?
He goes, the flask is going to be the least of your worries. The revenge I'm going to put on you.
Yep, that's right. But then they have this, it's one of the funniest conversations. Like I tell you, I got the Durson giggles. You know, the Durson giggles. Right, I just can't. Uncontrollable laughter.
Oh yeah, you couldn't stop. Well, they're both like kind of cracking up a little bit.
But they're screaming at each other about how nice the other one is. You know what I mean? And it's so funny. He's like, people always say Larry's what people so say, great. So jovial.
Behind your back. You should hear the things they say about you. Yeah. Oh, you're the best.
Yeah, and he's just, oh, you're very affable. Like they yell at each other. I can't even do it justice. It's just hilarious. Like they just scream. They're screaming at each other. They're mad, but they're saying like such nice things about each other. And it just cracks me up so much.
You getting the giggles now?
I mean, a little bit. But I can control it for the sake of the podcast. So, and now when the Funkhauser says, all right, now I'm going to do some fucking. But yeah, Larry does say his one regret is that he had to use the flask. But so Funkhauser now goes to the hospital to visit Stu.
This is one of the funniest scenes in all of Code ever.
Well, I guess
he's still playing his character from Old School, the radio warehouse, whatever thing. But here it's mattresses, right? He's like,
yeah.
Oh, I just had to drive from Temecula or whatever, and I got a Zoom call in San Jose and about five and all that. Yeah. So he's like still doing his mattress factory shit.
Yeah.
His regular guy stuff. And we got to pretend he's not Vince Vaughn.
Right. I guess it's, but like Stu was like, oh, I'm really happy to see you. It's really good to see some, you know, it's people. And he's like, oh yeah, I understand. You know what? He's like, I got some leads on that violin, you know? And so he's trying to push that, like, you know,
he's like, I got a bidding war going.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, I got to change things. I got to change things up. Larry's going to take the violin. I want you to keep an eye on Olivia. He's like, oh, you know, I don't think that's good. Larry's really good with kids. Not in a bad way, in a good way. He does the same thing that Larry did. He really likes 13-year-old girls, you know, not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way.
Says Larry's like a porcupine. He puts out those sharp needles, but like when a kid comes along, oh, he brings him in for a big hug, you know. Not in a bad way. But Stu won't change his mind, so Freddie's like, all right, I understand. Do you mind? He does a big yawn. he's like, do you mind if I sit down? I'm really tired. All that driving. Oh. And then he pretends to fall asleep in the chair, and he does the dream scheme. And he says all these like
so creepy,
terrible things. I know. He's like, we go to cockfights. That's what we do in this family.
He's like, take off that skirt. You look like a whore. Yeah. And like, you could have some food. I'll let you out of the basement. I'll let you know when you can have some food later. Like,
he says, you shit in a bucket. You clean the bucket.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder, like, obviously we know that this show is not scripted. Like, I want to believe that Vince Vaughn just went to town on, like, just came up with the most ridiculous shit that he could say.
Yeah, like, it's like regular, like, kind of, like, abusive dad stuff, and then it turns into, like, your favorite Brie Larson, like, the room, you know?
Yeah, it's terrible. But I mean,
room, not the room, room.
Yeah, room. The room.
You shit in the bucket.
In the bucket. So then Stu's like, hey, Freddie, wake up. And he's like, oh, I must have been dreaming. He said, yeah, you know, I'm gonna flop. Or he's like, you're back on the violin. He's like, you're flopping? Like, I love they keep using that term. You're flopping. So it's back. He's, you know. Anyway, so we cut to Larry's house. The housekeeper is sleeping on the couch. Or is she? We don't know, but she's, I mean, I'm pretty sure she's using the dream scheme.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
She's talking about hairy legs, I think. Oh, she said.
Bald head. Bald hairy head. Legs.
And Larry walks.
Diablo's lingua, like the tongue of the devil.
And Larry walks in and he's like, I invented the dream scheme. You can't use the dream scheme on me. He's like, look, I don't want to fire you. He does actually reference, he's got this trial. He doesn't want to, he thought it would look bad if he fired her because she saw him having cunnilingus before the trial.
Yeah.
But I'll do it if you can't work. You know.
Yeah, he's like, basically, starting tomorrow, start right. working. And get your feet off the couch.
Yeah, he does say that. So he goes to pick up the violin because he still thinks he's on violin duty. And this is a awesome scene too. This one is just hilarious. He runs into this the cousin, Waylon Grossbard, the cousin of Stu. And this guy's name is Trevor Einhorn. I don't know who this guy is. He looks kind of familiar, but I don't know. I don't recognize him from stuff. But yeah, he was on Mad Men and whatever.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So he's been around a lot. So you just kind of recognize him, but so he's like, oh, yeah, it's Waylon from the text chain. And he's like, and Larry's like, oh, yeah, the text chain. And he's like, you know, I noticed you're not that active. He's like, well, I guess. And he's like, oh, are you too good for the, you think you're too good for the chain? And he's like, actually, you know what? I do. I think I'm too good for this.
I do.
I love that. There's all those trite things.
every 2 minutes I get a ding, a ding, a ding, and it's all these motivational people posters, and I don't know who any of these people are.
I know. And he's like, all you have to do, just give a ha ha or a thumbs up or whatever. And he's like, a ha ha. Like, and Larry's talking about how stupid all this stuff is. And it went, you know, he's not wrong. And finally, Waylon says, like, I text it to you, but you won't read it. But here's an emoji or whatever. And he just gives him the finger. And Larry says, oh, I'll give that a ha ha or whatever. And he gives him like the thumbs up and the smiley emoji. He puts like his fingers next to like on the sides of his mouth to make like the smiley emoji and the prayer hands emoji and stuff. Like, it's so funny. So I love good. It. I know.
But that's, I mean, honestly, that's just like when he was doing the thing with Alexa or Siri in the car.
Yeah, kind of. Like, yeah,
fuck
you're right.
You,
fuck you, Siri, just screaming at her. Screaming
the modern thing, because yeah. You didn't even used to like. Now I think that because you're on Android, and some of my other friends are on Android, we have the ha ha's and stuff like built in. But now I get if you do a like, it comes as a text message. It says like Matt Durson liked this, so like I do see it now, but it didn't used to work before. I wouldn't see. I wouldn't get anything. Now it works.
Well,
that's all you gotta do. Always, send the like.
I don't like to send the like. I mean, I feel like I should be able to come up with something funny to say, you know, like or in a
well, but, just because our thing is so closed off. It's not like a regular like. Yeah, almost like or the ha ha is just like kind of. To me, it's almost the thing that I'm always wanting, which is like, okay, when does this end? Like, is it over now?
Yeah, like, that is true.
Maybe if I just say like, it means I saw it, and then we're done. Like,
maybe that is like the yeah, that's it's acknowledgement that I saw the message.
Yeah,
and we're done.
And I liked it.
Yeah,
and I don't have anything. I don't have anything to say. But yeah. I saw it, and yeah, that's funny.
Do you remember? Do you remember too when Larry was? I think it was last season. He was walking down the street and somebody had a selfie stick and he just broke it over his knee and like gave it back to him.
Oh yeah, that was good.
The Siri, the selfie stick, the text chains. Larry is he's against all this dumb shit. So
me too. I'm with Larry, as always.
So, anyways, he goes in. He wants to pick up the violin, and Gina is like, oh, well, Freddie's already here. Stu made a change. And Larry's like, what? Gina tells him about the nightmare. And Larry says, no. Like, and so he goes in, and he's screaming at Freddie, and they're all screaming at each other. And Larry says, it's all bullshit. I know it's bullshit because that's an excuse, you know, and she's talking about the dream scheme, basically. And now she knows that Jeff lied.
She was bringing Stu's wife a kale salad, which is a healthy thing to eat.
Right.
Right? And
yeah.
So, like, I brought this over to you. And, what? You're telling me that's all bullshit? You know, fuck you, Larry.
Yeah. And I love it. She, I don't know if we've heard this in a while, but she called Jeff that fat fuck. I don't think we've heard her call him a fat fuck in a while. So that was good to hear.
Oh yeah, that's your favorite.
It kind of is. So then they're fighting over the violin, and Gina says, "No, stop! Put it back." So they kind of look at each other, and they Larry puts it back in the case. They turn and like, "We're sorry," and it immediately falls. I mean, you kind of know it's going to happen, and it's still funny. You know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah, yeah. It's kind of like not the like the element of comedy is timing. Like in that instance, it's just you're waiting for the thing to fall out of the case as
right.
They like zoom out of it, you know.
It's done perfectly, right? Like it's a perfect shot. It just and falls it's right between them.
Yeah, it's broken too, and you could tell it was like a prop violin and a real violin because it's like made out of like some plastic mold that's like perfectly broken too, you know what I mean? It's just like kind of so funny. I think they made that guy up because it was, or it was like maybe a real like Jewish, like violinist, but she,
maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
But
maybe
but they were. She was. It wasn't like a Stravinsky violin. It was like it was played once at Carnegie
right.
Hall.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like the Dropkick Murphys, who I was just with over this past weekend. Like they're playing Carnegie Hall on Thursday.
Oh wow!
You know what I mean? And I guess it would be kind of cool to have a guitar that one of the Dropkick Murphys played at Carnegie Hall one time. Maybe it would make it $50 more worth
right.
money.
Right.
But it's still just like a guitar that they use every day.
Right. Yeah, I don't know who this musician was, but I don't know, maybe it wasn't anybody. Like you said, maybe they made it up. But
yeah,
it's
I think
really
it was kind of because all of the absurdities with this like living will that this guy is giving out is kind of like,
I know.
What is it? Like, you know, what
he's
is
asking
this
these two
violin
guys
who, yeah,
like don't even know blood. Him really. Yeah, like, or Larry at least doesn't know him at all. Freddie never really says that he knows him or not, but I kind of assume he's in the Larry camp. But like, yeah, like it's one of those things, like, you don't ask people to do this stuff. Like, he clearly has a lot of family members who could do this, but
I know. Why wouldn't the cousin be the one to do either of those things?
Maybe Funkhauser. He seems like the kind of guy that if you wanted to sell a violin, you'd be like, hey, man, you got, you know how to do this. You know what I mean? Like, Funkhauser just seems like the type who would know, like, oh, yeah, I can sell. Almost like people ask me to sell stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. Like, oh, or they ask me to do some, find somebody to, like, do some music business thing or rent a video screen or like, what do you do?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, I get those questions all the time, or it's like, doesn't really relate to me, but I can answer you actually. Yeah, I do know that answer.
Yeah, I feel like Funkhauser would be that type of guy. But so, anyway, she tells him to get out. She's like, get out. And Funkhauser says, you have a lovely home. And then Larry says, we'll talk on the text chain. And she pulls out the hoodie string again.
So, uh huh.
That was the final.
After he spent all that time licking it.
Yeah, right. Then she grabbed it. So I love Funkin' Larry, Funkin' LD, as I always put in my notes. But Funkhauser and Larry are out front of the house, and they look at each other and go, not bad.
Yeah, yeah. They both got what they wanted, really.
Yeah, they got out of this terrible obligation.
And they didn't really, I mean, I'm sure they feel bad about breaking the violin, but also they don't care.
Yeah, because they don't know this guy. Like, you know, like, that's the thing. So, yeah. And he says, oh, well, you know, and they make a little joke about the flask and whatever and the dream scheme and all that stuff.
And like, who would be a better dad?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. They talk about who would be the better dad. He's like, social services would be at my house in 20 minutes, I think Larry says, or something like that. So,
and Vince Vaughn's got to have kids in real life, right? Don't you think? I know Larry has a kid.
Yeah, we know. Does he have two daughters or just one? I think he has two. I thought he had two daughters. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure Vince Vaughn has some too. But the characters on Curb Your Enthusiasm do not. So
Vince has two kids.
Oh, very good. All right, so Renee shows up at Larry's house. She's got the painting. The housekeeper answers. She says he's not here. And she says, look, I know about the other night. She says, it's not even really my thing. Larry wanted to do it. Larry thought that going downtown was something women liked. And she said she didn't really like it. But, you know, he wanted to do it.
Yeah, they're both just trying to get out of feeling awkward about it.
Yeah. He gives her the painting. She says they're going to come and box it up, which is weird. I guess she says, Larry, what, you know, I guess she kind of made the indication or gave an indication that Larry would want to see it before it gets boxed up or whatever for the showing. So the housekeeper kind of looks at it. It's a kind of a funny picture of Larry. It's kind of, it does look kind of, it's exaggerated, but it's funny. It's a funny painting. We have a quick cut to Jeff on the plane in the middle seat. And there's an announcement over the...
Just asking, you know, for some water.
Can I have some water?
There's kids screaming. It's like the worst flight ever.
Right, And then, of course, they'd say, oh, due to, you know, some issues, we have to reroute our flight. So, like, they're going to be flying longer, of course. And everybody goes, oh.
And then they're going to – they have to take a bus.
They'll
bus you to your final destination.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's what you get for lying, I guess. But now we see the Weisenheimers, the art show. And this is pretty funny. I mean, there's a painting of Lewis. I don't know if you saw in the background. Yeah, the Lewis painting. Yeah. It's really nice. I'm glad, like, so somebody has that, I would imagine, right? I mean, they
probably real artists made them both, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and whoever else may be in the background.
Yeah, the Weisenheimers. Jewish comedians. But yeah, the Lewis one is nice. So Larry and Renee walk in and they're just all like joking and laughing and look up and the painting has legs, like it was a picture of his face and the housekeeper drew legs on it or painted legs like under his mouth, like, so it looks like he's going downtown.
That's right. Yeah, they're like brown skin, like just because it was his face. Yeah. Oh, there's a picture of Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried and Richard Lewis, because I was just scanning to look at it. But yeah, big Renee has her bra on and Larry's like going downtown. Going downtown.
Yeah, he's going downtown. And everyone is staring at them.
And they just leave. They just turn. It's her art opening. She just leaves.
I know. They kind of like give, like, Larry gives her like a one of those head bobs. It's like, let's get out of here. And that's it. That's how it ends. But not quite. There is one more little thing, as we pointed out.
Yeah, the credits roll. We get the chat with Stu, Larry, and like a couple other little circles in there. Hang in there, Stu.
Yeah.
And as they say in obedience school, heal, stay strong. I'm going to send some flowers. So one of the things is I'll send a teddy bear. He always loved those.
I know.
Sending these good thoughts.
So stupid, so horrible, like this stuff.
And there's a picture of him when he was like younger. And somebody goes, oh, that's amazing. Stu looks healthy there. Which is a funny thing.
I know. That's like kind of an asshole thing to say.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But I love it. Yeah, like usually the end credits are just the words, you know, like just this is who was in it. This is who worked on it. And the song plays. I love that they added this at the end. Yeah, another classic.
That was good. That was good. It was like a ye old Curb episode.
Ye old. Know? Yeah. Yeah. I love it. If you just watched this episode and had never really seen it, didn't really know much, you would be able to follow along and love it.
Tough times remind us that our spirits are strong. Like all
it is terrible. So it looks like Gina is on next week's episode as well. She's listed on IMDb as being in it. It's called The Colostomy Bag. So that's got to be... This is going to be... I love it already. And it's...
Did you watch the little preview?
I did. Oh, yes, I did. Conan.
Your friend Conan is in there and more Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis. Oh, man. It's sad. Like, just you're like, oh, all right. But, you know, I want him to be in it, right? But it also makes me think like, oh.
Yeah, we get to enjoy him.
Yeah. So this says, Richard enlists Larry's help to buy a vintage car. Jeff secretly schemes to give Larry power of attorney. Power of attorney. Oh, okay, so if he dies, right, or something? Or what is that? I wonder what that's all about.
Wait, who's giving power of attorney to who?
Jeff wants to give Larry power of attorney. I can imagine Larry not wanting it or something, you know? Or maybe Susie doesn't want Larry to have it.
Or, yeah, I mean, it's so that Larry can, like, have a one-up over Susie if Jeff dies. Like, well, I have power of attorney. I can control his money or whatever.
So do you know, this says it's directed by, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Robert B. White or Whitey. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but this guy has been around for a long time. He's directed a lot of sitcoms and stuff and produced a lot of great comedies and everything. I know I've seen his name on a lot of credits. I remember his name, and it's so it must be good. I mean, usually it's just Jeff Schaefer. Yeah, this guy's been around for a while, so I'm excited. It should be a good episode. Yeah, he's a big comedian. Maybe I just saw him on Parks and Rec, but I don't know. But he's definitely been around. So,
It looks like he directed or supervising producer of the actual pilot. So,
wow, yeah,
no,
that's
he's been
going.
around
I love it. They
this
brought
whole
him back
time.
for the one of the last episodes. Yeah, that's right. There it is. See that right there. That should be good. I mean, obviously, but like just the very term colostomy bag. You know what I mean?
Did 29 episodes of Curb. Total.
Wow. So I guess that is yeah, he's been around. Good for him. Maybe that's where I saw the name.
Could be.
If they like him that much, he must know what he's doing.
He's there from the beginning, you know?
Wow.
It's funny now, like watching season 12, and then like if you ever like look up clips, they're from the previous seasons, and it was so. You know, it's over 24, 25 years. And
Yeah.
like young Larry really looks younger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does. Especially the hair, you know, like his hair is a lot more just wild now. You know what I mean? I
Yeah,
don't know if he
right.
just doesn't care, or he's just, I don't know, just letting it grow a little bit in the back.
He's a Weisenheimer,
He
you
is.
know?
He's a Weisenheimer. So yeah, I mean, I sent you that clip, peeing sitting down, as we talked about last week. And yeah, he
Yeah.
looks a lot younger. So, and that, I mean, yeah, and it was like 20 years ago. So I guess we all age. Still funny.
It's funny too, because if you look at the episode run length of the next one, 35 minutes.
Yeah, I think this one was like 39 or so. So, I mean, they're all around that. I don't, unless maybe the last one will, they'll just go as long as they, that's really the good thing about HBO is you can just, as long as it has to be to tell the story. You know, you're not confined to like, oh, it
Yeah,
has to be, you know.
Disgruntled was only a half hour. Lawn Jockey was a half hour, but you're right there, kind of like between like 39 and 40 minutes, something usually.
Yeah, it's not like it has to be a certain length because there's another show coming on after, you know, it's just they just or whatever. Oh,
I
we have
think
to.
of it as an hour because it's more than a half hour, you know, like.
Right.
When it, well, mostly I think of that because we have to block out time to watch these. So, oh, I
Right.
have an hour to kill between my one Zoom meeting that makes me want to kill myself and the podcasts. And yeah, I'll have enough time to do that, get something to drink.
You go. I not out of a flask though, but yeah, just a
I
regular
could
drink.
put whatever I want in my flask. I could put
That's
fucking
true. You
Kool-Aid
could
in there.
put Kool-Aid in there. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all we got. Excited for another episode next week. Thanks for coming on, Clay. Don't forget, check us out, leaguepodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And especially check out YouTube. We have a lot of videos on there now that Clay has posted and done everything on. I had nothing to do with it, but there's a lot of
My
content.
Curbcasts for this season are specifically up there in its own little playlist. So get caught up with the, you know, sometimes when I'm binging through something and there's a podcast about it, I'll go back and like, you know, listen to the episodes as I
Nice.
watch them. Because, you know,
Nice.
even with Curb, as popular as it is and as much as we're into it, sometimes people will, you know, take their time and get to watching it. They're probably behind a couple episodes or something,
Right,
you know?
right.
They're all up there.
That's great. Excellent. Yeah, check them out. Check out. We got stuff, our What We Do in the Shadows and our regular league podcasts. You know, a League Versus. We got the director series that we're doing now. We got Star Trek, Trekking Through Trek, Bonding Through Bond, all that stuff. We got some for everybody.
That's
So
right.
check them out and like and
Back to the
subscribe.
Future with with Michael J. Fox, the Curb Your Enthusiasm star.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you later. See you at the club.
See you at the club.
You think you're too good for the chain?
You know what? Waylon, is that your name?
Yeah.
I do. I think I'm too good for the chain.
Oh, sorry, you don't want to help your friend.
Help?
You know, it takes minimal effort just to reply, even a ha-ha or a thumbs up.
Oh, really? Are there funny things on there that require a ha-ha?
If you read through it, there's a lot of...
Can I be honest with you?
Please.
I'm overwhelmed by this chain. Every 2 minutes, it's ding. I'm getting a ding. I'm getting a ding. Too many dings. And what is it? It's just these ridiculous, inspirational sentiments that amount to nothing, that are all trite. I don't even know why people bother to write them.
It's been a really hard time for the family.
And you want me to give it a ha-ha? A ha-ha?
Or a heart. That's also an option, but it seems like that's too much for you.
You know what's too much for me? This chain is too much for me. I want off this chain.
Once you're off the chain, you can't get back on
the chain. Oh, no, don't say that, really?